I'd like to read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And we're going to read it, verse number 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 7. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. They were spoken on the Mount of Olives. And he said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." God's absolute promise. Now a second reading in the last book of our Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. I'm sure many of the young people here tonight can quote this off by heart, but we will turn to it and read it. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." One final reading in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. And again, these are the Savior's words, Luke chapter 13. And verse number 22. "And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." And God will certainly bless what we have read tonight. I'd like to take a very simple truth, and I trust every one of the young people will be able to understand what we're saying tonight, because what we have read about concerns the simple reality of knocking. Now, I don't know if you had occasion to knock today. Sometimes you have to press a buzzer instead of knocking in this modern city of ours. But the Bible does speak very plainly about knocking. And of course, when a person knocks, there's always a sound, maybe a sharp rap. But when a person knocks, there is usually a purpose behind the knocking. Most of the time, they want entry. Most of the time, they want to step inside. Most of the time, they want to get the attention of somebody on the inside to be allowed to enter. And I find it interesting that as we have read in God's Word, that we have read of a knock in Matthew chapter 7 that is always answered. This knock, in accordance with God's will, is always answered. In fact, the Lord Jesus could say, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Now, there's no maybe about that. There's no perhaps. There are no other qualifications put on that statement. Mind you, it's in the context of what the Savior was saying. But this is a knock that is always answered. And tonight, that's exactly what this gospel meeting is all about. Because there is a Savior who is ready and willing and able to meet the greatest need of your soul, a need of your salvation. And He is willing to open up a door of salvation. That door is open already. But tonight, pictured in Matthew chapter 7, we have read of a knock that is always answered. We have read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, and I'm going to use this in the gospel tonight, of a knock that is sometimes answered. This time it's the Savior's knock. And as I think of 3 weeks of meetings, I have no doubt in my mind, I am convinced of this, that this knock in the gospel has been heard in these 3 weeks. There are individuals that have come, young people and older ones. Some of them have stayed behind for a talk. Some of them have heard the knock and entered in. But one thing is evident, that this knock has been heard. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And through the circumstances of our day and of our lives, and through the preaching of the gospel tonight, and through other events that happen all around us, the knock of the Savior is being heard. But tragically, sadly, that knock is only sometimes answered. And as I look at this audience, I trust you understand that this Savior that we present to you tonight is longing that you will open to Him. His greatest desire is for your eternal blessing. He is not holding out on you. He is not dangling the carrot, if I can use that term, to pull it away at the last minute. That is not His character. He is standing there with the greatest of all blessings, with your eternal destiny in view, and He longs that you will open to Him. But tonight, there has been a response of rejection, a response of delay, and to the Savior's knock, it is only sometimes answered. But when it's answered, there is eternal blessing. And that's where we are tonight. He is knocking again. We have read in Luke chapter 13 about a knock. And that knock will never be answered. Never. Here were individuals, and again, as we think of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Luke 13 brings it before us, we have the picture of an open door that will swing shut. An open door tonight speaks of a day of grace, a day of opportunity, a day of invitation. But there's a day, as Luke 13 tells us, when once the master of the house rises up, when He returns to this world, and an open door will be shut. A day of grace for men and women that have heard the gospel and have said no to Christ will come to a very abrupt and final close. And it will be then, that men and women will be in a hurry to be saved. They will long to be on the inside of that closed door. They will understand their greatest need then, and they will begin to knock. But that knock will never be answered. For you see, a day of grace has come to a close. And tonight, though that event has not yet happened, tragically, I'm likely very well looking into the faces of individuals surrounded by the blessings of God, surrounded by wonderful truth and knowledge. For some of you, this is not your first gospel meeting. This is likely your 3,000th or more. You have been cradled in the gospel. You have been surrounded by all kinds of evidence of God's wondrous salvation and of His mighty power. But somehow you have never bothered to enter in. You have never sought the Lord while He may be found. And there's a day coming when you will tragically stand on the wrong side of a closed door. And a knock given then will never be answered. I'm thankful that what we have in Matthew chapter 7 is a knock that is always answered. Because as the Lord Jesus brought this crowd together on that mount, He was going to speak to them of what concerned His kingdom, of what involved, what concerned His heart. And His desire was for the eternal blessing of every single individual. He was the Savior that drew near to us, not to point the finger at us, but to give us the greatest of all gifts. In fact, I was looking at this verse the other day. Maybe you haven't noticed it, but it says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And He came and provided salvation that is able to meet the need of every single individual without fail and without exception. God's salvation is sufficient to save the entire world. The work of Christ at the cross, the precious blood shed for sinners there, has met the need of every single individual. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." And there at that cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned He stood. Sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And His work, that once for all work, satisfied God. It will never have to be duplicated. It'll never have to be repeated. There will never be another Calvary. Once in the end of the age, He appeared to put away sin. But oh, it was by the sacrifice of Himself. And what His desire for you is that you too might be brought into the blessing of salvation. He wants you to have the forgiveness of your sins. He wants you to be able to have your past cleared of all of your guilt and your future as well. And He wants your future to be absolutely certain with regard to God's heaven. And He wants to give you a wonderful purpose to live for and a wonderful person to know, even God's beloved Son. And so He called His own, and He called those upon that mount, and He began to tell them about what His kingdom was all about. And He said to those individuals sitting alongside of Him, He said, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." You know, a person who asks or seeks or knocks understands one thing. I have a great need. What a desire is not in my possession. And as He unfolds these simple and yet overwhelming truths, He makes them aware that blessing, that salvation, that all they need is found in Himself. In Him is life. In Him is salvation. And tonight He is telling us simply that when an individual knocks, when an individual seeks, when they come God's way, acknowledging their absolute need of salvation and their guilt of their sin and their helplessness to do anything for themselves, that heaven's listening ear is available and ready and willing to meet that need. I'm looking at the faces of individuals, and from our lips, or at least from our hearts, there came that moment when we says, "Oh God, don't let us perish. Oh God, save me." And in the greatness of our need, we sought the Lord while He may be found. We call upon Him while He is near. We knocked because our need was to have access into His presence. We were strangers. We were on the outside, on the wrong side. We were separated from God. And yet this wonderful promise, prefiguring the wonderful invitation of the gospel, tells us that God is willing and ready and able to meet our needs. I wonder, friend, have you knocked? Because this wonderful truth is heaven's guarantee that when you knock in a day of grace in the greatness of your needs, that there is a Savior for sinners. Knock, knock, and it shall be opened to you. You see, when you come to God, the Bible tells us that when we come to Him, we must believe that He is. That He actually exists. We are able to talk to the God who's listening, boys and girls. He sees where you're sitting tonight. He knows you're here. He knows where you were last week. He knows what you've done this week. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When I sought the Lord and when I understood my need, I came to understand that His word can be trusted. That His salvation that was offered was for whosoever will. And I came to understand that His word could be stepped out upon, it could be trusted and relied upon. Ye shall seek me and find me when you'll search for me with all your heart. And tonight His ear and His eyes upon you. He knows where you've been, and He longs that you might come to Him for salvation alone. But alongside of the sinner's knock, there's the Savior's knock. And as we look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I know it's being used in context of a local church, a local assembly, but could I use it with regard to this meeting tonight? Behold, He could say, "I stand at the door and knock." And in these meetings, that knock has been heard. As we hear His voice in the gospel through the Word of God, we're made aware that He is speaking to us. Something, possibly one of the truths in the text, maybe something said, maybe just a line of a hymn gets a hold of our attention, and we were made to understand that verse is speaking to me. And as the Savior's knock, maybe as we stand alongside of the casket of a loved one, the knock of Christ comes to our experience as we realize, if that was me, I would be lost eternally. Perhaps, in the busy course of a day, as you move along, maybe you come across a Christian, and they speak to you, or you see something that reminds you of your need. Along the road of life, the Savior knocks. Behold, I stand at the door, and I'm knocking. And tonight, As the gospel is preached, you're hearing another knock from the Lord Jesus. Personal. So vicious. I can never truly understand why he would ever come to my life. Why he'd ever single me out, but I'm so glad he did. As I look at these young people and the older ones, and every individual in this hall, we find that he's the gracious Savior who comes alongside of us and he knocks. And he says, if any man hear my voice and open the door. Willfully and willingly bow to what he says. Willingly respond to his knock. The promise is, I will come into him and will sup with him. And he with me. But tonight he's waiting for a response from you. Interesting when individuals go to the door. This is nothing new, but you'll understand that there are all kinds of responses to knocks. Sometimes I've gone to various doors and the music is so loud or the TV is so loud they don't even hear the knock. And you can knock for all you're worth and you know there's people inside, they don't hear it. Sometimes you can go to doors and, again, there's activity on the inside. You're well aware there's people there. And you knock, and almost instantly, everything goes quiet. And even though you knock again, there's not a movement. And you become aware that they're just waiting for you to leave. Sometimes you knock, people come to the door, maybe look at you, listen to you for 30 seconds, say thanks, but no thanks, not interested. And there's the firm shutting of the door. Sometimes, very seldom, you go to the door with a gospel paper or an invitation, and the person says, would you just step inside? I would really like to hear more about that. That doesn't happen too often. At the night, sadly, the Savior's knock is seldom answered. Could I ask you tonight, what have you done with his knock? What have you done with the evidence of his dealings in your life? He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to be lost eternally. He draws alongside and personally knocks. In the busyness of your schedule, he knocks along your pathway of life. He makes you aware of your need. And what he's waiting for is a response. But what we have read of concerns those who never respond, who never open the door, who all their lifetime say to him, not interested. Perhaps later, come back another time. There's a day coming when that open door that's so wondrously inviting tonight will be forever closed. I was visiting just a couple of weeks ago, well, before this series, in Mount Pearl, we were having gospel meetings. I came into this crescent, and I came to where we usually pick up a good number of our Sunday school children. And came to one door, well, I could actually see the action happening. There was a girl, she's about 13 years of age, and she was banging at a door for all she was worth. And when I came alongside of her, I says, Heather, what's wrong? And she was both laughing and she was almost crying. Because you see, her oldest sister was on the inside and had locked the door. And it was cold, January in Newfoundland, and she only had her school clothes on, no coat. Her sister had played a trick on her, and her sister was at the upstairs window laughing at her, wouldn't let her in. And as that girl continued to knock, the smile disappeared from her face and she became angry. Because you see, she wanted to go in, and her sister wouldn't let her. Couldn't help but think, in that very simple illustration of individuals that will one day stand at a door that was once open. A door that they could have entered with eternal blessings. A door procured for them by precious blood. With the fullness of salvation and the abundance of the Father's table inside. Oh, it's all there tonight. All there to be had and to be enjoyed for all eternity. But I can't help but sense there could well be individuals here. And when that door swings shut, you'll be on the outside, on the wrong side. And all the knocking that will begin in time and will go off into eternity will never, never, never open that door. In fact, the solemn words are, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Depart from me, there was no response to my entreaties of grace. Depart from me, for you didn't come when I knocked. A knock that will never be answered. God help you to be wise, to be honest, to be awakened, to be in a hurry to answer the Savior's knock tonight. Because thank God, by His grace, that door is still open.